today, or fall down. The DFA Daily to the 2nd of September 2021. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. In today's show, we look at the latest property and rental price trends, the falls in iron ore prices, and how first-time buyers are looking to buy on lower deposits. What could possibly go wrong? The growth rate of dwelling values has slowed, with CoreLogic suggesting this may be due to deteriorating affordability rather than the lockdowns. In August, Australian housing values continued to increase on a broad basis, despite ongoing lockdowns, according to CoreLogic's National Home Value Index. While the rate of growth is still well above average at 1.5%, it is the lowest monthly rise since January. The August index has provided further confirmation about the softening growth rate after moving through a peak in March when national home values rose by 2.8% in a month. That was led by a 3.7% growth rate in the values in Sydney. CoreLogic's research director Tim Lawless attributed the slowing growth rates to worsening affordability constraints rather than ongoing COVID-19 related lockdowns. He said housing prices have risen almost 11 times faster than wages growth over the past year, creating a more significant barrier to entry for those who don't yet own a home. Housing values grew by 15.8% over the first 8 months of the year and 18.4% above levels a year ago. That's the fastest annual pace of growth since 1989. That's the equivalent of annual national dwelling values increasing around $103,400 or $1,990 a week. In comparison, wages are rising at an average rate of only 1.7%. Lawless said through the late 1980s, the annual pace of national home value appreciation was as high as 31%. So the market isn't quite in unprecedented territory. The annual growth rate at the moment is trending higher. In fact, it is 3.6 times higher than the 30-year average rate of annual growth. Housing values rose in every capital city in August, apart from Darwin, where it fell by 0.1%. CoreLogic noted that it has withheld the Perth and regional Western Australian index result pending the resolution of divergence from other housing market measurements in the state. And capital city houses have continued to grow at a faster pace than units, but the performance gap has narrowed. Capital city values have been rising 1.1 percentage point faster than units each month, but by August, the average performance gap reduced to 0.7 percentage points. The narrowing gap was most evident in Sydney, where the monthly growth rate for houses was 2 percentage points higher than in March, but that gap reduced to 0.6 percentage points in August. And Lawless said he believes the narrowing gap could pose additional challenges to housing affordability. While lockdowns have not impacted home values, they have resulted in falling advertised listings and, to a lesser extent, fewer home sales. The number of new listings through August dropped to 5.8% below the five-year average, while total active listings were at 29.4% below average. Lawless commented that lockdowns are having a clear impact on consumer sentiment. However, to date, the restrictions have resulted in falling advertised listings and, to a lesser extent, fewer home sales, with less impact on price growth momentum. It's likely the ongoing shortage of properties available for purchase is central to the upward pressure on housing values. The estimated number of home sales has dropped by 9% nationally over the 3 months ending August compared to the previous three-month period, but the number of home sales has remained 30% above the five-year average, even though active listings are well below average. Listing numbers have been trending up slightly in Brisbane, Adelaide, Perth and Hobart, with spring season arriving, but they remain weak in Melbourne, Sydney and Canberra, where lockdown restrictions have remained in place. And Lawless has predicted a likely element of pent-up supply that could be released when restrictions ease, which could see a rise in inventory, but flagged uncertainty about whether demand would rise at the same level following lockdowns. He also warned that affordability constraints would likely progressively dampen housing market activity, while increased supply in the absence of buyers could also impact price growth later this year. AMP Capital Chief Economist Shane Oliver said that while lockdowns may slow price gains in the near term, other factors such as low mortgage rates, ongoing relatively low levels of homes for sale, along with the resumption of economic and job market recoveries once lockdowns end and increased vaccinations, could eventually lead to further house price rises. He's predicted house prices to grow by around 20% this year, with Sydney prices to grow by around 24%. And he also revised up his expectations for average price gains through 2022 from 5% to 7%, as monetary policy is now expected to be easier for longer. And the Commonwealth Bank of Australia head of Australian economics, Gareth Aird, has also forecast national dwelling prices to rise by a whopping 20% over 2021. He said, "We expect home prices to keep rising over the remainder of the year, despite the large negative shock the economy is going through." Elsewhere, over 70% of first home buyers are buying homes with a higher than 85% loan-to-value ratio, according to a new study. 73% of first home buyers surveyed by LMI provider Genworth said that they were ready to enter the market with a deposit lower than the 20% of the value of the property, and 56% said that they would go even lower than that. 91% of respondents said that they expected house prices to keep growing in 2022, with two-thirds saying that this is still a good time to buy a home in Australia. The research revealed that demand among first home buyers is being fueled by a combination of low interest rates, expected further property price gains, and for many, a fear of missing out, said Genworth CEO Pauline Blight-Johnson. The dream of home ownership is alive and well. However, many first home buyers are having to change their strategies given the trajectory of house prices. We are seeing first home buyers targeting a lower deposit level, different property types, and more affordable properties outside major metropolitan areas. Brokers still need to be there to help first home buyers, said Blight-Johnson. It's clear that first home buyers still require support to navigate the lending market, in particular establishing borrowing capacity, loan pre-approvals, and finding the right loan, she said. That is why almost 9 in 10 first home buyers agree mortgage brokers provide valuable support and help to cut through the complexity of buying a home. With property prices continuing to surge, it's inevitable that first home buyers' ability to save for a 20% deposit will remain more challenging, and the LMI will remain an important option for entering the housing market sooner. The recent focus on responsible lending and insurance in our industry is both timely and critical to ensure first home buyers can both buy and remain in their home sustainably. Well, of course, they would say that because they're in the business of getting first-time buyers to borrow with a smaller deposit than 20%. But of course, the question is that really that sensible? And of course, you still have to pay the additional LMI premium. So I don't think it's as clear-cut as they might suggest. Now, the pace of rental growth has softened over recent months, but the trend in rising rents remains strong. Nationally, rents have lifted by 8.2% over the 12 months ending August. That's the largest rise in rents since 2008. There remains a stark difference, though, between the pace of growth in house rents, where nationally the cost of renting has risen by more than double the pace of unit rents, 9.9% nationally for houses compared with 4% for units over the 12 months ending in August. This difference between rising house rents and unit rents is most pronounced in Sydney and Melbourne, where unit markets have recorded a substantially lower growth rate. However, most of the capital cities are recording the same pattern, but in a less pronounced way. The weaker trend in unit rents across Australia's two largest cities is likely a reflection of their greater exposure to temporary overseas migrants as a source of rental tenancy, especially foreign students who would normally underpin inner city high-rise rental demand. The sharp drop in demand due to closed borders has been exacerbated by high supply levels as both cities come out of an unprecedented surge in inner city apartment construction, said Tim Lawless from CoreLogic. Although Melbourne and, to a lesser extent, Sydney unit rents remain soft, unit rents are starting to rise in these cities. Sydney unit rents have consistently risen each month during 2021, while in Melbourne, unit rents have been rising since June. The strongest rental markets remain in Perth and Darwin. However, the annual rate of rent growth in these cities appears to have peaked, while rental growth across the remaining capitals is continuing to trend higher. With national housing values rising by 18.4% and rents rising by a lower 8.2%, the result is ongoing yield compression. Nationally, gross rental yields have fallen to an all-time low of 3.32%. It is no longer just Sydney and Melbourne where rental yields are plummeting, but Brisbane at 3.99, Hobart at 4.01 and Canberra at 3.99 have also seen gross rental yields fall to new record lows in August. To which I would add, and of course that means that net rental yields, which is after all the costs of running the investment property, are falling through the floor. And finally, Bloomberg notes that iron ore futures retreated as the market weighed on coming seasonal pickup in Chinese demand against the prospect of a broadening, weakening economy and more curbs on steel output. The raw material had been regaining some ground after a collapse in July, with China's upcoming fall construction season suggesting higher demand. But iron ore still faces headwinds as the world's largest steel market faces several challenges for the rest of this year. Authorities want to rein in output, and production curbs to reduce emissions are expected to intensify in the last quarter. Even if seasonal demand is expected to emerge soon, it's hard to change the weak outlook for the medium and long term, given the overall guidance to lower crude steel production. China's economic activity weakened more than expected in August as an outbreak of the Delta virus variant curbed consumer spending and travel. And while that could trigger fresh government support, including infrastructure spending, there's typically a month-long lag between policy changes and their effect on steel demand. Earlier this week, Baoshan Iron and Steel Co., the listed unit of China's biggest producer, flagged the potential for renewed price declines in iron ore. And the iron ore fines in Singapore were down 6% on Wednesday to $142.99. And further falls are expected. So standing back, we can see a number of factors here in play, and it's still remarkable to me that amid all of the concerns about the markets, house prices still bubble away. But of course that is because of ultra low interest rates, ultra easy lending policies, and the fear of missing out. It's a question of whether that's still sensible given the current environment, and I would just simply say be cautious, because the elevated levels of uncertainty that we see in various parts of the economy suggests that it's very hard to predict where prices will go from here. Now, if you're buying your home in Sydney's contentious market, you don't need to stand alone. This is the time you need to have Edwin Almeida from Ribbon Property Consultants standing alongside you. Buying a property is both challenging and adversarial. The vendor has a professional on their side. Emotions run high, price discovery and price transparency are hard to find, and then there's the wasted time and financial investments that you make. Edwin understands your needs, so why not engage a licensed professional to stand alongside you? With RPC, you know you have experience, knowledge, and master negotiators looking after your best interests. So shoot Ribbon an email at info@ribbonproperty.com.au. And if you use the promo code DFAWTW/Martin, you can get a 10% discount offer. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.